Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me from the screen the title of our message this morning? The Observatory, a Heavenly Love. Based on Matthew 6, the introduction of the Lord's Prayer, which reads, Our Father, who is in heaven. We continue our sermon series by looking at the Lord's Prayer as rooms or places in the great house of God in which He wants us to dwell with Him. 2 weeks ago, we were in the living room. Last week, we looked at the house's foundation. And today, we go to a special room on the house's highest level, the observatory. And together today, we will see things from God's perspective. Now, in front of you, you've got the sermon outline and the handout. I invite you to follow along with this message as we consider our theme, the Observatory, Heavenly Love. Not long ago, I was on my morning run. It was a very special day. It was the first day of school for all the children in our area. And as I ran by this one house, a little girl came out of her home with her mama. And this little girl had a brand new school backpack, and I knew where she was heading. So as I ran by, I yelled out, Have a great first day of school. You should have seen her mouth drop, her eyes open wide. She turned to her mama and said, How did he know? Well, of course, it had been in the newspapers. It had been on television. There had been advertisements in the stores. She was quite impressed, though, with my all-wondrous, all-knowing wisdom. How did he know? You, however, are not so impressed, because you know how I knew. You understand the difference between a child and a grown-up by virtue of age and experiences. We adults occupy a whole different realm than children do. Here's the point. How much more is this true of God? Take the difference between me and the little girl and multiply it by a million times, and we begin to see the difference between us and our Father who is in heaven. Who among us can ponder the majesty of God without asking that little girl's question, Oh God, how do you know? God, we ask for mercy due to our sin, only to find forgiveness already offered. How did you know I would sin? We ask for guidance, only to find answers already written in God's ancient holy word. Oh God, how would you know that I would ask? God dwells in a whole different realm, and He wants us to see things through His perspective. Yes, indeed, He is our Father who is in heaven. He has a heavenly, eternal perspective on all things, including your life and my life. He sees things and understands things we could never see and understand. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says this, The foolishness of God is higher than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God dwells in a whole different realm. He indeed is our Father who is in heaven. Isaiah 55 tells it this way. God says, My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord. Your ways are not like my ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, the Lord says, My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He indeed is, say it with me, our Father who is in heaven. He has a whole different agenda. He lives on a whole different plane. He dwells in a different realm. And that realm is named in the first phrase of that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, when we pray, our Father who is in heaven. In this wonderful prayer, as we've already mentioned in previous weeks, Jesus has already comforted us in God's living room. He's already assured us last Sunday with the foundation of the house. And now today, our Lord Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us to a special room on the very top level of God's house. We enter the observatory. Because Jesus has taken us there and given us eyes to see clearly, we don't need a telescope. We look out the observatory window and we see the glories of the heavens. Now, last month's total eclipse of the sun, that I know some of you traveled to Oregon to see, can't even compare to what God is showing us today from his heavenly observatory. Jesus has taken you by hand, and he looks at you and he smiles and he says, "My Father rules the universe, but guess what? He also loves you." Then we pause to consider Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies announce what his hands have made. Day after day they tell the story. Night after night they tell it again." Now glance up at God's heaven through the window of this observatory. Stare at the sun and the moon and the billions of stars, and please would you realize this, that our sun is just one heavenly body in a universe of heavenly bodies. Then consider 2 Chronicles chapter 2 that says this, and these words were written when the temple in Jerusalem was about to be built. It says, "No one can really build a house for God. Not even the highest of heavens can hold him." You see, what controls you doesn't control him. Matthew 19:26 puts it this way, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." But often our questions reveal our lack of understanding. A question like this, "How can God be everywhere at one time? Who said God is bound by a body? How can God hear all the prayers that are spoken to him at the same time? Perhaps his ears are quite different than ours. How can God be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Could it be that heaven has a different set of physics than earth does? Or if people down here won't love me and forgive me, how much more am I condemned by a holy God? For goodness, why did God send his son?" John 3 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world would be saved through him." How important it is, are you with me? How important it is that as we step into God's observatory, we see things from God's perspective. Our Father is in heaven, and yet, are you ready for some good news? If you've tuned out of the sermon, now the time is to tune back in. How important it is we see things from God's perspective. Our Father is in heaven, it is sure, but when he looks at us, he only looks at us through the cross of Jesus. And he sees us in ways we can never see ourselves. Truth is, we are sinners. We have broken God's commandments. We have hurt ourselves and others. We have deserved the wrath and punishment of a holy, almighty, perfect God. We look into the mirror of God's law and we see ourselves clearly. We feel guilt for what we've done and shame for what we've become. And we may wonder if there's any hope. If there's any way that God could love us. And then our Father, who is in heaven, takes us up into the observatory with him. He takes us by the hand and shows us the view from his window. We are shown things from God's perspective instead of ours. And wonder of wonders, what do we see? Oh my, this is what we see. God always sees us through the cross of Jesus. He sees us in ways we can't see ourselves. Because of Jesus, your Savior, who died on the cross to pay for your sins, rose from the grave to open for you the gates of heaven, the Almighty, Holy, Powerful God, the Creator of the universe. Yes, the Our Father who is in heaven, the one whom the heavens can't even hold. He sees you through the cross of Jesus. Because of Jesus, your Savior, our Father who is in heaven sees you only and always as his beloved, forgiven, precious child. Take a good look. Take a good look from God's observatory. The psalmist, Psalm 19, has already told us, the heavens declare the glories of God. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven. Now, right now, just for a moment, pause with me. I had some fun with this research. Pause with me and consider just a few tidbits about our creation. Are you ready? Behold the sun. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it large? How wonderful that we receive heat and light from the sun. There would be no life on this earth without it. Yet scientists tell us that our sun is just one minor star of the billion, of 100 billion stars that make up our Milky Way galaxy. Scientists said that on a clear night with many stars in the sky, if you had held up a dime in your hand at arm's length and look at the sky, that by holding up their dime and looking up at those heavens, you would block out 15 million stars. Now consider the Earth. The Earth's weight has been estimated at 6 sextillion tons. That's 6 with 21 zeros. I think the Earth has to go on a diet. Yet our Earth is tilted precisely at a 23-degree angle. Any more or any less, and our four seasons would be lost in a melted polar flood. Warming, no life. And though our Earth revolves, scientists tell us, at the speed of 1,000 miles an hour and spins this way 9 million times every year, not one of us tumbles into orbit. Why? Because our Father who is in heaven has also created an invisible band of gravity to hold us secure. Now, as you stand today with me in God's observatory, viewing his creation, seeing indeed, as the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, seeing indeed that he is our Father who is in heaven, permit me now to ask you a few questions. These questions, by the way, are on your sermon outline if you care to follow. These questions may help you see all of creation and your life through God's perspective. If God is able to put the stars in their places and suspend the sky like a curtain, do you think it's possible that he is able and willing to guide and care for your life? If God is mighty enough to light the fire, to ignite the sun, could he be mighty enough to light your path when times are dark and confusing? If God cares enough about the planet Saturn to give it rings or to make Venus sparkle in the night sky, is there a small chance that he cares enough about you to meet your deepest need? All of these questions and many more are answered by our Lord Jesus himself. As he says these words in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, the passage I'm going to read, Jesus invites us to come into God's observatory and look at creation from God's perspective. Listen to Jesus' words. He says, look at the birds in the air. They don't plant or harvest or store into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And you know you are worth much more to the heavenly Father than a few birds. Why do you worry about your clothes, Jesus says. Look at how the lilies in the field grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that even Solomon, with all his riches, was not dressed as beautifully as one of these little flowers, so you can be sure that God will clothe you and take care of you. Are you beginning to get it? As we pray with Jesus as he taught us, our Father who is in heaven, as we look out the window of God's observatory, Jesus invites us to see things through God's perspective. Here's some more questions for you this morning. Why did our Father in heaven give us such a beautiful world? Why did he give the birds a special song to sing? And the mountains, a majestic snow-covered peak. Was he required to put stripes on the zebra? Was he made to provide a bright orange sunset? Was he compelled to create bright, twinkling stars? And here's my favorite. Did God have to make fresh-cut grass smell so good? Why go to such efforts to give us such gifts? Well, why do you? You do the same. In your life, probably at some point, you spend a lot of time and money searching just for the right gift of the person you love. Now, gentlemen, I'm talking to you in the congregation this morning with these next sentences. Because what I'm not talking about is that last-minute purchase of some cheap London drug perfume on the way home to a birthday party. I am not talking about that desperation visit to the dollar store as you rush home on Christmas Eve. I'm not talking about closeout specials and discount purchases. What I'm talking about for all of us now is the money you stashed away every month for a year so you could buy her the perfect dress in just her size. I'm talking about, ladies, looking in 100 different sporting goods stores for 6 months until you found just what he was hoping for. Dad, I'm talking about you staying up all night Christmas Eve, assembling those two bicycles whose instructions weren't as easy as they looked, so your children could find those bikes under the tree the next morning. I'm talking about what my father did for me when I was 14 years old, denying himself a much-needed pair of work shoes to buy me a brand-new baseball glove. Why do you do it? You do it so the eyes of your loved ones will open wide. You do it so their heart will stop, so their jaw will drop. You do it so their breath will be taken away. You do it to hear these words of utter thankfulness. You did this for me? You really do love me. That's why you do it. And that's why God did it. As you pray, our Father who is in heaven, as you look at the observatory at his creation, you can see things now from God's perspective. So next time a sunrise or a sunset steals your breath, or a meadow of flowers makes you speechless, remain that way. Say nothing. And hear as your heavenly Father whispers in your ear, "Do you like it? Isn't it great? I did it for you. Oh, yes, I love you. And listen just a little longer as your Father in heaven whispers, and when you see this world all around you with its wonders, remember that I so loved this world, that I so loved everyone in this world, that I so loved you, that I gave Jesus, my only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He is my greatest gift. Isn't he great? I gave him to the cross, an empty tomb, just for you. Oh, yes, I love you. Do you find such love hard to believe? Perhaps you do. But remember that little girl who couldn't imagine that I knew it was her first day of school? Just because she couldn't comprehend it didn't mean I didn't know it. And just because we sinners can't imagine God giving us sunsets, don't think he doesn't do it. And just because we sinners can't understand a holy and almighty God loving us, don't think he doesn't love us. When we see ourselves through the cross and empty tomb of Jesus, then we really see ourselves through God's perspective. We see our Father who is in heaven, our Father who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, our Father who makes the sun sit and the sun rise, our Father who caused his Son, Jesus, to rise in victory over sin, death, and devil. Yes, he truly is our Father in heaven who loves us with a heavenly love. That's God's perspective, always and only in the name of Jesus. Amen.